get us started with a prayer?
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and thank you for your grace, your mercy, and your love. We just ask, Father, that you would bless us with your word, your love, your light. We just ask that you open all doors, Father, let your word just flow on us.
Yes.
Father, we thank you for our Christian sisters and brothers who are here today in Sunday school. We pray that you would bless our service. Just bring your word, Father. Let your love just envelop us. In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen, amen, and praise the Lord. Okay, so would you all mind if I read something? I don't like to read because it kind of gets to a point where you lose people after a point, but I really think this is good. This is a lady named Joyce Morris. Joyce Morris. Never heard of her, and usually those are the things I love the most because, you know, they're not some TV evangelist. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but it's someone who is anonymous, basically, to us at least, and that's the one. So, okay, I'm going to just read this, see what you all think. And again, sometimes we do things for the sake of the internet, not for this group, so, okay. I'm going to start off with Revelation 15:4. For now the day is dawning, when all nations shall come and worship before thee. Wow. All. And on this piece of paper, all is A, capital L, capital L. You know, so emphasizing the all. Okay. The following words by Joyce Morris add a depth of understanding to this contrast between the betrothed wife of the Lamb and the wanton harlot riding the scarlet-colored beast. Now you say, well, what's that got to do with the name of God? Keep listening. Stay tuned. Okay. Whatever you are having union with is what you are becoming or producing.
That's right.
If you choose to have a union with your soul, then it is impossible for you to produce anything except the flesh. If you are having a union with the Lamb, you cannot become anything else but the Lamb.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Christ in the earth. Christ in the earth. Mm. There are, however, a lot of people who want a marriage with the Lord. And here we go. This is why it relates to what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. In name only. They want his name and the benefits and blessings that go along with his name. Mm-hmm. But they do not want to make a commitment and become his name, his nature.
Mm-hmm.
So let me just read the last part. We need to become his name and his nature.
Mm-hmm.
I remember very clearly one day many years ago while I was getting ready to go out and minister to a full gospel businessmen's fellowship meeting. The Lord spoke to me loudly and clearly about this. The Lord said, my people want my name, but they don't want to become my name. My people want my name so that their reproach will be removed and their sins forgiven, but they don't want to become my name.
Mm-hmm.
They want a relationship with me, but they don't want to marry me. Because if they marry me, that means they will, boy, how appropriate is this?
Mm-hmm.
If they marry me, they will have to make a commitment.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody, you made a commitment when you put that ring on your finger. Not that the commitment wasn't made months and years ago, but that was final at that point. You made the commitment. They don't want the responsibility that comes with marriage.
Mm-hmm.
See, I didn't know that you guys... I didn't know that he had proposed this week, so how appropriate is this? Okay. Just like Israel, my people still want to continue on in fornication and adultery. They want to have other lovers and continue in idol worship. They love their families, relationships, money, homes, possessions, and businesses more than me. They want the things of the world more than they want me. They want their religions, doctrines, traditions, and beliefs more than me. They are not willing to love me first in their life. They are not willing to let me be Lord in their life. They desire my blessings more than the one who blesses them.
Yes.
They want the gifts that I give them more than the giver of the gifts. They want their ministries, knowledge, and revelations of me, but they do not want the responsibility, commitment that should come with them. They do not want to come to the marriage of the Lamb because they still want to live separate and apart from me. Many of the body of Christ, and even many who call themselves my sons, have sought to build their own kingdoms rather than live as one with me in my kingdom. They want my name to open doors for them, but they do not want to enter in through a union with that door. They do not want to come to the marriage that I have prepared for my son. They do not want to take their responsibility and be what I have called them to be, which is my name and my nature. They do not want to be one with me. These are strong statements indeed, but they are true. This is what has been going on in the body of Christ and even in God's sons today. We still want the great revelation, the knowledge, understanding, but we do not always want the responsibility, commitment that comes with them. I didn't read that because of this group, you know that. I just thought that gave perspective to what we were saying about the names of God, all the names of God. We want, I know there's not a person around the table that doesn't want to be the name of God and the nature of God and his character and all the things. So, but I read that yesterday in my devotional, and I thought, wow, that's pretty good. So, all right, we're at Jehovah M. Kadesh. Jehovah M. Kadesh. Jehovah, oh, let me pass these out. Do I have it on this or not? Let me see. I have some on this, but I have a lot more that I've added to it, so and I don't need these back. Okay, Jehovah M. Kadesh is Jehovah who sanctifies you. Jehovah who sanctifies you, which is found in Leviticus 20. So if we could move to Leviticus 20. Someone want to read, if someone could read, let's see, Leviticus 20. If they see that they want to read a little before that, fine. 7 to 8, somewhere in that area. It's really, I'll read it in the King James, and you can read it in a different version. Sanctify, this is where this Kadesh, and by the way, this word Kadesh is not like some of them where it was only in the Bible one time. This word Kadesh is in the Bible 200 times. So it's a word that, and then when you go into the Greek and you look at the word sanctify or whatever, then you'll see that that's in there a lot too. So sanctify yourself therefore and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. And ye shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctifies you. So if you want to read that in a different version.
The Amplified says, consecrate yourselves therefore and be holy, for I am the Lord your God, and you shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord who sanctifies you.
Anybody have it in the Message or something different?
English Standard Version says, be special, make yourselves holy, because I, the Lord your God, remember and obey my laws. I am the Lord, and I have made you my special people.
That's good. I like that. What I found was interesting here is our walk pretty much is you're nothing without Jesus. That you can't do all things, but he can.
Can I read verse 6 up there? I think that should be read
because yeah, that's what I said.
A lot of Christians do this, and this, the way this puts it, I think some Christians do this, and they really shouldn't. It says, I will be against anyone who goes to mediums and wizards for advice.
Yeah.
Whosoever does this is being unfaithful to me, so I will separate them from my people.
Yeah, I mean,
and there's a lot of Christians that will call these, they'll go to these fortune tellers.
It's a $1 billion industry,
stuff, sure.
Yeah, it's a big industry. Yeah, that's good.
The Amplified that says the person who turns to those who have familiar spirits and to wizards, being unfaithful to Israel's Maker, who is her husband, and thus playing the harlot after them, I will set my face against them. That person will cut him off from among his people, that he may not be included in the atonement made for them. And then it goes on saying, consecrate yourselves.
People want to know what's down the road. Doesn't require any faith though at all. I mean, if you know what's down the road, there's no faith in that at all. So there's a trusting and an exercise of your faith by not going to these places and not seeing these people. Because first of all, where do you think they're getting their knowledge? Where do you think they're getting their information? I mean, it's demonic. Let's just be real, you know. It's a demonic billion-dollar industry out there that is you know, leading the lambs to the slaughter, and because of people's curiosity about what's my future hold, you know, where am I going, and maybe this person can see him, but, well, you know what, it doesn't matter. Look at Abraham. He said, go, and Abraham went. Period. Done. End of story. So if he's going to tell you to go, go. And don't worry about tomorrow. It's not promised anyway.
There's a difference, and I think a lot of Christian people don't realize, or some Christian people don't realize. I had an older Christian person say to me a while back something about, well, didn't Saul call up,
yeah,
you know, call
sorcerers?
Up, yeah, he called up Samuel.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I said, yeah, but have you really read that to that person? I said, what was Samuel's reply to him? What's this you've done? What's yes. this you've done? In other words, you've done something you ain't supposed to do, buddy. and let me tell you something else. And when there was a lady who followed Paul around in the book of Acts, who kept basically saying, these are men of the Most High God. Hear
oh,
them.
Yeah,
and she kept on. And Paul turned around and cast it out of her.
Yes.
And when he cast it out of her, her master wanted to take Paul to the officials and have him stoned or killed or whatever, because he had just took away his
livelihood.
Mm-hmm. And you can't justify it. There's a difference between a prophetic word that God gives you. If God gives you a prophetic word from somebody, and we can clarify this, if God gives you a prophetic word through somebody, it should be a confirming word. not always a directive word. If it's a directive word, it'll be a word that God's already spoken to you before.
Confirmation.
It'll be a confirmation. It will be to build you up, never to tear you down or to tear somebody else down. You know, it'll be to build you up, it'll be to edify you. So we need to put that out there, because there's been people who've been given a prophetic word by people in the past, and maybe that person wasn't really that much of a prophet, and people have ran off and sold their houses and moved to other states and moved up into mountains and done all kind of stupid stuff where God didn't really tell them to do that, and they've lost everything that they've had in the, you know, in the past. And you know, God's word should always be a confirming word.
Yes.
Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, it should be confirmed. I'll give you an example of that. When Brother Roy was here one time, the Lord had me give him a prophetic word up on the platform. Another thing, it should not be done in private. It should be done out in the open. It should be done in places where people can judge,
mm-hmm.
where other spiritual people can judge. If somebody mm-hmm. pulls you off into the corner and wants to give mm-hmm. you a prophetic word, you need to walk away. I'll tell you that right now. Mm-hmm. You need to walk away. And anyway, you need to say, let's go get some other elders so they can judge what you're saying to me, or some other Christians so they can judge. But anyway, you know, the Lord gave me a word for him and his wife when they were here. This has been a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. And he called back later on and wanted to know if I could give that to him in writing, because we weren't recording the prophecies then, you know. Mm-hmm. And now we try to record them all we can.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, I normally cannot remember. When God gives me a word for somebody, I totally try to put it out of my mind, because I don't want to be trying to figure it out or
mm-hmm.
trying to give them direction without God telling me to do that. Mm-hmm. And anyway, so I sat down and I prayed about it. And I said, Lord, you have to bring this word back to me, because he wanted a copy of it,
mm-hmm.
if he could. Well, I sat down and I wrote it out. And he did give it back to me. And I sent it to him. Well, what Roy ended up saying was, we were the third people that gave him the exact same prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
See? Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, God will establish his word.
Mm-hmm.
And it was that he was going to send him out and begin to use him out there, you know, more, and, you know, that kind of thing. I don't remember the exact words, but, you know, mm-hmm. it was along them lines. But anyway, there's a difference between that. I think that's important. That's why I brought that back up. Because there's people who are doing that. They're going to fortune tellers. They're going to these other people. And I tell you what, that is not a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
That is not a good thing. And people who try to call up the dead, that's called necromancy. And you're not supposed to go to a necromancer.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's called in the Old Testament.
I mean, little things that aren't little.
Yeah.
Like Ouija boards.
All that stuff.
I mean, there's a company called Parker Brothers. I think they still do the Monopoly and whatever. So you think, oh, this is a kid's game.
Yeah.
We don't. But I mean, I'm saying that an unlearned person of the things of God. Next thing you know, you brought this into your house, and the kids are playing around with necromancy, trying to pull up dead people and trying to get direction and trying to get, you know, something prophetic,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, from a demonic spirit, basically.
Yeah.
And it's not good. And there's just a lot of things that we have to guard against. We have different eye gates and ear gates, and our house is a gate, and you know, everything's a gate, and then we got to make sure that it's all been sanctified before we allow it in.
Yeah. Clarice Luke told a story about that one time. She said that she was out buying Christmas presents for her kids when they were little. And she said that this man came up and stuck a game in her cart. She said, well, I didn't ask for that. No, you need this. He said, he stuck it in there and then he walked away. And it was a Ouija board. And she said she was fairly young Christian. The Lord was moving in their lives, but mm-hmm. this was when the Lord really started getting hold of them real strong. And she said they took it home and said they were playing with it, you know. And she didn't know better at that point. And her husband was still a Catholic, and and the priest came over and he saw it. He said, what are you doing with that thing in your house? He said, you shouldn't have that in your house. And she said that they throw, I believe she said they throw it into the fire, you know, into the fire. And I think she said it literally sounded like voices screaming out when they throw it into the fire. And she said, and then there was a loud noise down the hall and a door slammed. And then she said there was, you know, they had a pretty big house, so they were pretty wealthy. And she said the door slammed, and she said they went down there and she heard one of her kids screaming, and they went down there and one of her kids' finger got cut off in the door. You remember that story?
Yeah.
Got cut off in the door. And anyway, God ended up doing a miracle. He restored that finger.
Restored that finger.
Restored that finger. But what I was trying to bring to what bring about was she didn't know no better at that point than to do something like that. And you know, Christian people sometimes, they play around with a lot of things that they really shouldn't. And maybe we need to discuss that kind of thing more from the pulpit than what we do.
Mm-hmm.
But I've had a couple of younger people from here tell me that they went to a fortune teller, and I told them, I said, man, you don't want to do that. Don't do it. I said, it's not a good thing. I said, you're opening yourself up to a lot of things. And I will tell you this, the same people that told me that, at another point in their life, had invited me over to their house because they felt like there was some kind of spirit in their house. And I went over there, and I just came against that in the name of Jesus, and I told them, I said, but when you're
they
playing around
the,
with those kind of
the
things,
yeah.
You're opening the door for all that kind of stuff to happen.
I had an aunt that did that, and she needed deliverance. She had to actually, they prayed over her and delivered her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On that Ouija board, that little thing that you put your fingers on, that actually moves.
Yeah.
I got about maybe 15 to 16.
Yeah.
I came involved with it. You know, I mean,
I've never used one, but I know
it moves, but not. It's a spirit that moves. Yeah.
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 Well,
yeah,
I mean, I thought it was a game. I was young, and you know.
Yeah, I did the same thing, but it never moved. I mean, the only time I would get some gullible kid in, and I'd move it to do that. Because I guess God was protecting me, because I know God was protecting me, but I'm just saying, it never moved. I only did it once or twice, and this is
I only did it one time, that's the last time.
Yeah. The only experience I had with something that I really felt was demonic, God's been so faithful protecting me, because, you know, my life before being a Christian wasn't exemplary at all, but... Anyway, in my house one night, there was just this being in the bedroom, and it was taking the tree in the corner, and we could see it rustling.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't anybody there. Well, there was someone there. And I just, you know, in the name of Jesus, go, and that's all I said, and it was gone. But the next day at lunch, went to Wendy's and my bill came to $6.66. And I just started laughing. I just said, you can see you have no impact on my life. God has protected me. I'm going to laugh at you. I'm going to laugh at this sorry attempt to try to rob my joy or to put fear in or whatever. I'm just going to laugh at it. I laughed at it and that was it. Never again, you know, have I ever experienced anything like that. And so it is important to sanctify yourself. And that's what's interesting about this scripture. It says, sanctify yourself. And what does it say in English? It says, read it again, because I like that. But it says, this doesn't say, you know, we're taught as, you know, New Testament believers or those under grace, that we can do nothing of ourselves.
In this translation.
But I can do all things through God who strengthens me. And so now it's saying, well, we have to sanctify ourselves.
In this translation, it says, be special.
Okay.
And you are special.
Absolutely.
Make yourself holy, because I am the Lord your God. Remember and obey my laws. I am the Lord. And I have made you my special people. And you know...
I like where it says, make yourself holy.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
The only way we can make ourselves holy...
is by attaching ourselves to Him.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's it, yeah.
I like the way even the King James says, sanctify yourselves, therefore. And be ye holy. And isn't there a New Testament scripture that says?
I've got a whole bunch up here, so I'll get to them.
And be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. Well, God says, be ye holy. He is going to take care of you, making sure you are holy.
That's the key.
And this is what I love. And ye shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctify you. Mm-hmm. There's nothing ambivalent about what the Lord said there.
No, that doesn't require an interpretation.
You shall keep. And, you know, when in English, where you say, I shall, you say, you will. That's the normal way of speaking. Yeah. But in the English, in English literature, if you want to make a special emphasis, you say, I will, and you shall. Like if you're... Mm-hmm.
Switch them around.
Yes, and that's emphatic. That's an emphatic word. It says, you shall. Because he's going to make us.
Yes.
That's the only way we can
do it. Something I would like to clarify out of that verse is that this was in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, he said, I'll write my laws in your hearts and in your minds and your sins and your iniquities. I'll remember no more. So it's an inner thing. It's not a bunch of regulations, because he took the handwriting of ordinances that were against us and he nailed them to the tree along with Christ. And it's not that, but it's following the inner law of God, and that main inner law is that you love one another as I have loved you, and to love God. And if you do that, all of these other things will kind of take care of themselves. And that's the real statutes that you have to keep, you know.
That's good.
Can I read?
Yeah, go ahead.
In Ezekiel, it's, let me see, 37:26, I will make a covenant of peace with them, and it shall be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will give blessings to them and multiply them, and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. My tabernacle or dwelling place also shall be with them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Then the nations shall know and understand and realize that I, the Lord, do set apart and consecrate Israel, which it was, for holy use when my sanctuary shall be in their midst forevermore. But you see it in us.
Yeah.
In us. And then in 39 it says, I will send fire on Magog and upon those who dwell securely in the coastland, and they shall know and understand and realize that I am the Lord, the sovereign ruler, who calls forth loyalty and obedient service, and I will make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not let them profane my holy name anymore, and the nation shall know, understand, and realize that I am the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in our midst, within us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I read in the New Testament.
Greater
is
he that is in
us. Yes.
For sure. That word Emkadesh means to consecrate, and that word consecrate means to make or declare sacred. It also means sanctify, to be holy, to be separate, pure, and clean. The Lord first sanctified the Sabbath. That's the first thing he sanctified. And from there, the next time it's the word sanctification or sanctify is mentioned was when the Lord sanctified the firstborn of Israel before the Exodus. The Hebrew word, this is, it goes on, says, means to dedicate, consecrate, and holy, be holy. It also means to set apart or separate. The beauty of the Lord is seen in his holiness, and when we put on that new man, we are holy. I mean, that comes with the territory, so to speak. It also means more than a position or relationship in regard to Jehovah. It means participation in the nature. Being. Participation in nature, character, and works of Jehovah. Jesus completely surrendered himself to the Father's will. If you want to go to Ephesians 1, here's some of the, even though the word Emkadesh is a Hebrew word, I still took the word sanctification into the Greek, because it's really good. And it's still the word sanctification or sanctify. Ephesians 1:4, I'll read it here, and then if anybody else has another version, please read. It says, just as in his love, he chose us in Christ, actually selected us for himself as his own, before the foundation of the world. Think about that. You were selected by the Father before he even created the first thing in the very first chapter of Genesis. So that we would be holy. That is consecrated, set apart for him. And I like this, purpose driven. Mm-hmm. Purpose driven. We have a purpose, and we have the drive put in us, the purpose and the drive to accomplish what he wants us to accomplish. Mm-hmm. And blameless, ooh boy, this one will mm-hmm. set you free, and blameless in his sight. Mm-hmm. Anybody else have another version?
And I have Amplified.
Okay, go ahead, and then we're going to Ephesians.
Did you start at 4?
Huh?
You started at 4, yes. Right? Even as in his love he chose us, he actually picked us out for himself as his own in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, consecrated, and set apart for him, blameless in his sight, even above reproach, before him in love. For he ordained us, destined us, planned in love for us to be adopted, revealed as his own children through Jesus Christ in accordance with the purpose of his will, because it pleased him and was his kind intent, so that we might be to the praise and the commendation of his glorious grace, favor, and mercy, which he so freely bestowed on us in the beloved.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's
praise
we're pretty
God.
Special, like Pastor said earlier, we're special people, and we are. And we need to
yes.
know that, and we need to not get a big head over it, but to thank him every day.
Yes.
Right.
Brenda, I love what you read there, where it says, he revealed us, which kind of reminds me that we already are. But he revealed it to us.
Yes.
You know, and that is all the same as that misidentity, mistaken identity.
Yeah, wouldn't it be nice if everybody
yeah.
knew that?
When he
they
reveals
don't know that
it
out
to
there.
Us, that's when, you know, the processing begins.
That's right.
Whole chapters. Oh, when you read on yeah. down through there.
The whole book.
Oh, yeah.
Ephesians.
Well, let's
yeah.
go to Ephesians 5. Because this all fits together. It's like a hand in glove.
Uh-huh.
Ephesians 5:26. And again, there's so many more verses, but I just picked it. I just thought this was a progression of what. Okay, first of all, he selected us. That's Ephesians 1:4. Now, look what Ephesians 5:26 says. So that he might sanctify the church. Okay, it says the first one was sanctify yourself. And now this one says, so that he, because of Jesus, this is important, because of Jesus, he now sanctifies us. And now we know that. It's been revealed to us we can't do anything to sanctify ourselves. But he just says right here, so that he may, because of Jesus, he may might sanctify the church, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the Word of God. So we have been washed by that water of the Word of God. And we are pure, blameless, holy in His sight. Wow. Okay. So that in turn, He might present the church to Himself in glorious splendor. Without spot or wrinkle, or any such thing, but that she should be holy, set apart for God, and blameless. Paul had it, didn't he? Paul understood it very, very well, to the point of being able to explain it. Anybody, and from here we're going to Hebrews 13, just to give you advice, but anybody have any comment on 1 or 5 there before we move forward?
I'd like to say something.
Sure.
In Ephesians 5:13, this is out of God's Word translation. It says, light exposes the true character of everything, because light makes everything easy to see. That's why it says, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. And he's the light that lights everyone that comes into the world. And what we need to do in the sanctification that he's given to us is begin to shine that light into other people's lives and begin to tell them what God has done. We need to tell them it's time to wake up, you know. We've heard a lot of sermons over the years about, you know, that God, when he put Adam into a deep sleep, it never says he woke him up, you know. And you see various places in Scripture where he's telling us to wake up. You know, wake up. And, you know, it's time for the body of Christ to begin to wake up and begin to realize what God's done. And if he has already sanctified people, they just don't know it. You know, they don't understand it.
There's something going on in the, I don't know what this is, the New Age or whatever, called awakening. This is a big buzzword right now where they talk about, well, he was awoke, you know. And some of the stars and all, no, I've been awoke, you know. And what's amazing is they're getting in part.
Things are natural to clear up.
That's it. That's it. They're getting in part what Jesus is doing behind the scenes, but they're not there yet. But they understand some spiritual principles that some of the church hasn't even grasped yet. But they said, I heard this one person, who was a big star and all that, has awoken now. And he said, I'll go ahead and say it's Jim Carrey. He says, I am not Jim Carrey anymore. He didn't use the word mistaken identity, but he said, that was someone I was trying to be, to please this person, that person. I made this up myself. So, I mean, he's getting the concept of, he's not real, if that makes sense. The person that we were before Jesus was really not real. It was a mistaken identity, we say a lot of times, and it was not the true person that we are. You know, in Christ is the true person that you are. So I don't, God will use anything to bring you back around to him. And I don't know what's going to happen to him, but he said a few things, I went, wow. You know, he's definitely on to something. Now God hook him, grab that
yeah.
hook, put it in his mouth, and reel him in.
Oh,
know?
Yeah, make it real. So
yeah.
Yes, that he truly
yeah.
is unveiled.
Gets the answer. He's got some of the understanding, but he doesn't have the answer from what he's confessing with his mouth, you know.
Well, what I'm sitting over thinking, to be honest with you, is, you know, if the things of the natural declare the things of the spirit, right now in the natural realm out there, there's a bunch of lies going on. You're hearing lie after lie after lie after lie on the news, from the politicians, from everybody out there. And what is that saying? That's basically saying that we're in the realm of still operating in the realm of a lie. And the realm of a lie is that we're not what God says we are. And the truth is, we are what God says
yes.
we are. And there's going to come an awakening, and it's going to be shouted from the housetops when it really comes to the fullness of the thing. And, you know, like I said, the things in the natural are the thing. And if you tell somebody, if you say something enough, even if it's a lie, if you say it enough, after a while, the reality of between truth and lie gets blurred. And you begin to believe a lie, see? And it's like we were talking at the radio station down there sometimes about people saying things bad about you. you know, or calling you names or something like that. We kind of got into that discussion a little bit. People calling you names. You know, you take a kid enough and you tell him he's stupid and he's never going to amount to nothing. And you know what? He'll act stupid and he'll never amount to nothing because you convinced him of that, see?
For code.
Rather, you know, I told a story in a sermon one time about this one particular guy. He'd been told by his teachers that he was stupid. He never amounted to nothing. And he believed it. And he quit school. He couldn't read. He couldn't hardly do anything. He got with someone who had faith in him and began to instill in him that he could do things, taught him how to read. And today that guy's a multimillionaire because he created all kinds of businesses and did all kinds of things. And he said he went back to his teacher that he had had. And he said, I went in and I told him, you were wrong. And you know what? We should not have one teacher in school that ever said that to a kid. That should be the fastest way in the world to get them fired. If they ever tell a kid you're stupid or that you can't, you're no good or you're never going to amount to nothing, they should kick them out of school so fast that their head's spun. Because they ruin young people's lives by telling them that. You know, God's word declares we can do all things through Christ.
Yes, right.
We're more than conquerors. We're overcomers. We're all of those things. But we're living in the realm of lies out there right now. And God's about ready. And he's about ready to bring, frankly, the truth break forth.
Mm-hmm.
And when that truth really breaks forth, it's going to be an enlightening, wonderful thing. You know?
Praise God. Maybe this isn't appropriate for now, but all of these people coming forward and saying, you know, I feel like these, this hold that those lies and secrets had on young people when they were abused. Mm-hmm. And now they're just coming right out. And all that power of that thing is just crumbling into nothing.
Yeah.
As people see that.
It's taken down politics.
Yes.
It's taken down the
when
entertainment
people see
industry.
That
it's
true.
Taken it all down, you know, and whether liberal, conservative, Republican, it doesn't matter.
Somehow I see there's a basic change in the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to honor that lie any longer.
Yeah, something is happening in the spiritual realm that's affecting the natural realm. No doubt about it. Yeah. Just here recently.
And things that are being exposed so they can be disposed of.
Yeah.
Yes.
Schools. Expose it to dispose it. That's good. I like that.
Yes, it is.
Okay, if we want to go to Hebrews 13, we're just going to kind of... I threw this in because it's just so good, and I like the way, I forget what version I used, it was either, I don't even know, but I'm going to read it, and then if anybody else has any other version, but this kind of was, I like this a lot better than the Hebrews 13, verse 10 through 15.
Yeah, I had that.
What?
I had that written in here.
Oh, did you?
10, the Hebrews 12, 10, and Hebrews 13, 12, but
Okay.
13, 20.
It says the altar, this gives you the whole history of sanctification. The altar from which God gives us the gift of himself. The altar from which God gives us the gift of himself is not for exploitation by insiders who grab and loot. There must be some grabbing and looting going on for him to put that in there. And we don't even know who wrote Hebrews. A lot say it's Paul, but it doesn't matter. I mean, this is good. In the old system, the animals are killed and the bodies disposed of outside the camp. Remember we talked about that early on, about Jesus was crucified outside on Golgotha. The blood is then brought inside. So what needs to be sanctified? The inside.
Mm-hmm.
So the blood then is brought inside to the altar as a sacrifice for sin.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same with Jesus. He was crucified outside the city gates.
Mm-hmm.
That is where he poured out the sacrificial blood that was brought to God's altar to cleanse his people. Remember, they That's when the veil was written in twain, because finally Jesus' blood was put on the mercy seat. And that's the last blood that ever needs to be put on the altar.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go outside where Jesus is, where the action is. Not trying to be privileged insiders, but taking our share in the abuse of Jesus. Wow. This insider world is not our home. We have our eyes peeled for the city about to come. Hallelujah. We are that city. Let's take our place outside of Jesus, no longer pouring out the sacrificial blood of animals, but pouring out sacrificial praises from our lips to God in Jesus' name.
In
the name of Jesus, name above all names, every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. That's a powerful, most powerful name ever. There will be none more powerful ever, and there will be none, there was none more powerful before. Anybody have any other version or any thoughts or ideas on that?
I never did catch what you're reading.
Hebrews 13, 10 through 15. Okay. 10 through 15.
I think that might have been the New Living Translation.
Is that what it was, NLT?
I think it was.
Okay.
It sort of sounds,
I forget.
Like,
I usually write it down, but I usually look at five or six translations,
yeah,
before I pick one, and I just love this one. It just really clearly laid it out, and I just really liked it. It's good. So where's the altar, spiritually speaking? Where's the Ark of the Covenant? Where's the mercy seat? Where's the Holy of Holies? It's all there, guys. We don't have to look out. You know, we go outside to come inside. You know, the blood is brought from outside to the inside. Jesus shed it, and he brought it and put it on our hearts. And he circumcised our hearts and brought about new life. What a wonderful thing. I mean, it's just so, the Word of God is so amazing and awesome, and it just fits together. And if people would just do what we're doing here and just really rightly divide the Word of God, they would be amazed. It wouldn't be going to soothsayers and palm readers and tea leaf readers and whatever. There'd be no need. Because it's all right here. There's nothing more that we need than this right here, because it talks about a relationship. It talks about intimacy. It talks about marrying the groom. You know, we're the bride. He's the groom. And it's talking about marrying him, being one with him. And so it's all here. There's nothing, there's no question that I've had since I've been a believer that can't be found in this book or in prayer with the Lord one-on-one. Between those two things, or, you know, it may not even be prayer. You could be driving down the street and boom, he'll shoot an answer to a problem or a question. Okay, have you ever, you know, maybe you're, I don't know if this is a good example, but I can remember one time assembling something that's, you know, you look at it and you go, this should be easy. I don't even need directions. And I start assembling it. And all of a sudden, I should have looked at the directions. Then I look at the directions before I go to bed, and I go, I think I'm better off just looking at the picture. Then I go to bed, because I'm so frustrated, I say, I'm just going to let this sit. Wake up. Next morning, let's say it's Saturday and I'm not going to work, and all of a sudden I look at this thing and it all looks different now. It looks right. It's God just imparted whatever wisdom, knowledge, whatever I needed to put that thing together the right way. But I couldn't see it the night before. But waking up, it's just like, instantly, it's like, boom, 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 5 minutes, 10 minutes later, done.
That's very similar to when Julie spoke here. She was driving down the road, and boom, God said to her, what if God was one of us? And it changed her and her intermingling with other people and finding reconciliation. In that instant, it just came to her. God came to her.
And what I learned from that more than anything else, she pulled off the road. God will give me stuff. And I was thinking, driving today, there was something he asked me to do. We were on the radio or something, and there was a scripture that was brought out, that someone brought out. And the Lord said, look up that word. I don't know what that's got. You know, I didn't write it down. And so right now, I don't know what that word is. And I feel that I disobeyed the Lord. By not
bringing it back to you.
Yeah, either if it was on, if I was on the road, I should have pulled over. Maybe it was something I heard on the radio. I don't remember, but at that point in time, I should have pulled off the road, so to speak, and write it down, and I didn't. So, Lord, I'm asking you to bring it back, and I promise you this time I will pull off the road and write it down. So.
I'm on the road a lot, and God gives me, and I can know exactly where I was at. I was at County Line Road, and God's out of my mind, was thinking a lot of things, and he said, what you give yourself to, you become. And then he began to enlarge. He gave me that months ago. And he also gave me, I'm teaching you transference. I felt so overwhelmed with what I was doing for everyone. And he said, I'm the burden bearer. I'm the him teaching you transference. Mm-hmm. You transfer these things unto me. Mm-hmm. And he started, you know, speaking, you know, that to me. And then he became telling me that you cannot be everything to everyone. I just remember where I was at, and then as I'm still driving, he begins to enlarge upon it. And then when I get quiet, get away, then he begins to just open it up.
Well, that's exactly how we started today, was with what that lady said.
And yeah, you know, and God gave me that.
That whatever you are having union with is what you are becoming,
yeah,
or producing.
He gave me that.
Let's have union with the Lord.
Yes.
Can I read this?
Sure.
This is Amplified, and it's Ephesians 5:32-33. It says, this mystery of two becoming one is great, but I'm speaking in reference to the relationship of Christ and the church. However, each man among you, without exception, is to love his wife as his very own self, with behavior worthy of respect and esteem, always seeking the best for her, with this attitude and loving kindness. And the wife must see, and this would be our part of our soul doing this. The wife must see that she respects, delights in her husband, that she notices him, refers to him, treats him with loving concern, trusting him, honoring him, and holding him dear. Mm-hmm. And man, if we do that to the Lord,
oh yeah,
what a relationship we're going to have. You know, because he's already doing his part of it. He's already done his part.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I love that because, you know, and if we'll do that, our soul will do that. If we'll notice him, refer to him, treats him with loving concern, treasuring him, honoring him, and holding him dear. You know, if we'll do that to the Lord, boy, I tell you.
Well, we're married.
We're married. That's the marriage. That's what marriage is all about. But Paul said, I'm really speaking concerning Christ and the church.
Yeah.
I'm talking about marriage in the natural, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. So that's our relationship in being married to him. And he's inviting us constantly to that marriage supper of the Lamb,
yes,
where we become, the two become one, you know.
That's good.
I have that already marked in here.
Yep. That's interesting that we were talking about that, not knowing that you all were engaged this week. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless. anybody have anything else? You have something on your heart, Kathy, you want to share?
Well, I was just looking up the word glory. It's in Isaiah 60, the glory of the Lord. Is that the character of the Lord?
In the New Testament, a lot of times the word glory is the word doxa. I'm not sure about the Old Testament. And it means glory as being very apparent.
Going along with what you were saying, arise and shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Mm-hmm. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, which of course is the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee.
Yes. Isaiah 60.
Yeah, it's 35:19 in the Hebrew. Which is not...
It is Isaiah what?
60, verse 1 and 2.
Next week we'll be going into Jehovah Shalom. It's a good one. Get mother off there. Jehovah Shalom.
Very good.
Oh, why are you looking? I wanted to show you this.
Definition.
Did y'all see this? Mm-hmm. Did y'all see this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You saw it?
Turn it upside down.
Yeah. Yeah, this is the harlot church system, the false church, and seen through the eyes of God.
Mm-hmm.
That's the bride. That's the bride. That's the harlot church. As God sees it, that's us.
Here's the definition of that. It's the word, I was thinking you would pronounce it, kavod. It's KAW/BODE. And it means properly, weight, only figuratively of a good sense, splendor, copiousness, glorious, gloriously, glory, honor, and honor. And the root of that word is...
I'll give it to you next week. I'm holding back.
So we got to look up our own script on it. Is that what he gave you?
Yeah, I got the next two ready, and they're awesome, both of them.
I didn't read that because it's about 10 o'clock.
Yeah. All right, well, we're running late, so let's go ahead and pray. Linda?
Father, we so thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, how you're so revealing yourself to us, in us, and even through us, even greater, Lord. We appreciate, Father, how you're opening things unto us. And may we, Father, go forth, and may you be glorified in our very midst and within our very beings. Father, just lead us in the service following, worship, and in the word. We commit all things into thy hands, O God. For we ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.